gentlemen, you are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will turn it over now to the host of the program here, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you out there, Marion, tonight? I hope everybody's well out there. Hope you're getting in a little bit of the Christmas spirit. Again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I pastor Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. You can reach it at 740-494-2222 and also on the web at prospectccf.com. Our service times are 9:30 for Bible school hour and 10:30 for worship hour at church on Sunday. We also have a 6:30 service. We have youth group at 6:30. We also have midweek services. And tonight and in two more weeks, the first and the third Tuesday, we have Team Kid going on at the church. So it's not too late tonight if you want your kids to come to Team Kid. It'll start at 6:30 and till 8 o'clock. And it's a fun kids program. Doesn't cost you a dime. And you can leave your kids there. They're in safe hands. But again, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. So come and enjoy yourself. How are you doing?
What's on the agenda? I mean, just busy, right? I mean, just...
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. We've got, you know, we have this Saturday is our toy and gift giving. It's kind of a shopping thing that we do every year. And for the people in the Elgin School District, unfortunately, I know that this is a Marion station, but, you know, we are located in Prospect, and we have to draw some limits on some of the things we do. But anyway, it's a...
I heard you. Is that the thing you were teasing about? Said you bought all the toothbrushes or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
You said you bought them out or what?
Yeah, that was...
Now,
what that's for is...
I wasn't sure if that was the same project or not.
No, that's not the same project.
Oh, okay.
We do is we have a backpack program that we do through the school system.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
okay.
We send home with kids that might need a lunch on the weekend.
Gotcha. I'm sorry.
And we do that every week. Okay. And we decided that this week, we got about 260 kids that we do lunches for every week. So, but we decided that this year, one of our ladies decided... it would be wonderful if they pack a stocking for each one of those kids. So that's where the toothbrushes got bought out at.
Okay.
Yes.
I was ahead of myself. Okay, and, I was thinking it was the same project.
Yes, those stockings are stuffed and full. There's 260 some of them.
Wow.
And they'll go out right before they go home for Christmas. So, yeah, that's
will
a different
project.
Will you
treat that the same way, though? I mean, you send it home with them for the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
We'll do it the same way.
Okay.
But, you know, the other project we're doing is, you know, we do this every year, and... of course, we are able to cover Prospect, LaRue, Green Camp, Big Island, those outlying areas that are within the district. And some kids are in Marion because they're open enrolled in the school, and we get those people too. But, you know, the thing is that it's great to help people. This is geared for people that work and are struggling. And it starts out on Saturday morning at 9:30. They come in to register. And they enter their name and their kids and their ages, and then they come into the sanctuary and they get a Christmas message, abbreviated Christmas service. Mm. And then following that, they go with different individuals they're assigned to, and they go through and they shop for their kids. And when they're done, everything's wrapped, and they take them home. And we usually have a few coats and have some gloves around, too. And some odds and ends of that nature, and pajamas this year. We had a pajama drive. What we did Sunday evening, we served pancakes and pancake sausage and a dessert, and it was called Pancake and Pajama Night. And you came and ate.
Sunday evening you did this?
Yeah,
came
and ate free pancakes, but we asked you if you could to bring a pair of pajamas that we could send home with
that
kids.
That sounds cool. I mean, just a little different on a Sunday. Yeah, that sounds cool, though. I mean,
so it was, a fairly decent turnout. And,
yeah, good.
You know, those kind of things just keep us going. But, hey, I want to do something I don't typically do too much of. And I know I'll miss some people, so I'm going to add to this later. But, you know, there's been some really generous groups that have helped us out with our drive this year. And for hats and gloves and buying gifts and bringing them in and even financially supporting what we're doing with matching funds. So, you know, I'd like to mention a few of those tonight and give them thanks for that.
Sure.
One of them is Modern Woodman.
Okay.
And they help us a great deal. Battle Run Fire Department.
That's great.
We also, so far this year, we have been helped by the United Federal Credit Union. just gave us a large amount of gifts. Mary Davis has given us a fund. Also, Ashley and Scott Snyder with they have Mad Hatter screen printing. They do T-shirts and whatnot. They helped us a great deal this year. And so many various other people in the community and around. And there will be more that I'll add to that list, because it's just been such a blessing. Tomorrow we're going all the way down to – we're taking two trucks and going all the way down to Galloway, Ohio.
Wow.
To a sister church that has been very blessed this year. And they're going to be sending us back with a truckload of stuff.
Well, that answers my question. I was going to ask Pastor, are you guys taking any kids? But never mind, that answers it. If you're coming back with all that stuff, probably wouldn't have room for... I mean, when you go down, are you just going yourself, or are you just sending a truck down there, or...
No, we'll go. There'll be three
or four of us.
I didn't know
if you'd send any kids, if any kids were...
Yeah, they're all in school.
Oh.
But, you know, we go down, pick it up, bring it back.
Okay.
The ladies were working all day long in the church. Our church is decorated like Santa Land. And, of course, we certainly have a manger scene, too, and we understand what it's about. But, you know, it's I shouldn't say Santa Land. Let's say Christmas Land. I haven't seen any Santas in the church, but I do know we got plenty of decorated trees. They're all over the place. And it's just the time of Christmas. And, you know, the other night it was kind of neat. We went to the Prospect Christian Preschool, had a fundraiser at the United Methodist Church. And, of course, they host the preschool. And it was a fundraiser Christmas program, and the kids sang, and we had a piano concert. A couple of adults played too, and it was really kind of nice. It was just such a blessing. The one lady that in particular that has some CDs for sale that she's selling that is. Just does her, Krista Kelso, she's a pianist, and she put out a Christmas CD that is just gorgeous. I listened to it, I bought one. They're only $10, I think. But anyway, if you guys want one, give me a call. You would be thrilled with the piano playing. And
Is it no vocals? Just
no vocals, it's just her piano.
I think I might want one of those.
Well, maybe next week I need to bring one in.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a drawing for one next week.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Or two or three or something. Maybe we'll buy a few.
I think I want to get one. Yeah, I think I want to get one.
But I just love it. It's just peaceful and calm.
Yeah.
And she is just such an artist.
I love Christmas music played on a piano. I think that's,
Yeah, Bill Snyder, the pastor that used to be at Prospect Baptist Church, she played there forever and still does, and talked her into cutting a CD, and it was one of the wisest things he's done a lot of wise things,
right,
but I mean that was a great thing he did, because she certainly of course had that talent.
She's an excellent pianist too. I'm sure
she truly is.
Yes, I love that kind of music on a piano. I love all the Christmas. Yeah, that's good.
But you know, it is just a busy time of year.
Yeah.
I pray that people are taking things in stride that we've talked about the last few weeks.
One question that I have, Pastor, and it's I've seen a lot of it around, like, you know, working and stuff, is that does it seem like, I mean, I know this is going to be a dumb question, but people, you can have fun with Christmas and still also remember the message as well too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
But some people put them in reverse order.
Some people will say, you know, it's all about the gifts and nothing about the meaning, and others say it's all about the meaning and nothing about the gifts.
Well, they're like a lot of people. Well, you know, you ask them, and it's like, well, they're all worried about shopping, you know, and that's the only thing that comes to mind. They don't. I mean, they've made
a mistake.
They may know about the, but they don't, like, that's not the first thing that they tell you. But you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to word it. It just seems weird, though. I mean, you know, that...
You know, there's something interesting.
You can have fun and, you know...
There's something interesting happens every year. At 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, we'll have a service. And we'll have a...
I think I'm going to go to you.
A Christmas Eve service. And it's real interesting because every year we have people come that don't normally go to a service. And after the service, they say, I'm definitely coming back this year. Because there's something about hearing the message of Christ's birth and about hearing, really feeling the spirit of what it's about within the church that uplifts your soul. And people sometimes that have never been in church, they come to those. And some people, you know, that are the C&E Christians. Anyway, the ones I told you about.
We talked about this, yeah.
But no, I mean, some people, they just love to come to those services. And they really should. And I would encourage you out there, if there is a church having a Christmas Eve service, go. Now I understand that I think a lot of the Catholic churches probably have Mass.
Yeah.
But and if you're not Catholic, that wouldn't, you know. Right. You know, that's what a guy asked me the other day. We had a fellow come in from the Lutheran church. He's in a diaconate program with his church. And one of the things they have to do is go to a church that's different and sit through the service and then ask the pastor questions. And one of the fellows from the Lutheran church in town came this last week, and he asked me, and he was asking me the two main things they needed to ask about was I think communion and baptism. What are our differences? And he asked, he said, "Now, are you guys all inclusive on communion?" And I told him, I said, "Absolutely. I mean, communion, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you're right with the Lord and you want to take communion, by all means, you take it when you're at the church. It is a very serious thing, and it doesn't need to be taken unwisely and unmerited with your heart not right with the Lord. But, I mean, as far as being a member of a certain church and taking it, I don't even find that scriptural, to be honest with you.
That's what I was wondering, too. That was going to be my question.
The church is the body of Christ.
Okay.
That's what it is. Okay. It's not a Methodist. So it's not a Lutheran. It's not a Baptist.
They can't dictate to you to take it then, right? I mean, it's up to you.
It's a free offering.
Right, right. Okay.
Now,
because I didn't know, like, if you, like he said, if you went to a different one, if they, you know, they could they suggest it, or could, I mean... Or is it still strictly just up to you if you want to?
Well, most churches, what they do is they don't either it's free will, you know, or you can't take it because you're not a member.
Oh, okay.
You see what I mean?
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
And
yeah.
At our church, it's just, you know, if your heart's right with the Lord, you take it. Right, but we do not take communion on Christmas Eve typically either.
Oh,
that is one.
Is
of
that
the,
common everywhere or just?
I don't know. We do that for our Easter services and those kind of evening services. Right. Community. We have a community service for Good Friday Easter and there will be. But in our typically. In our Christmas
Eve. I love learning about all this stuff.
One thing we do is, one of the things I really love that we do is we light a candle and we pass the candle down, pass around and light all the way around. And everyone in the church has a candle. And at the end of the service, we go around the whole outside of the sanctuary inside and hold hands and as well as possible, because remember, you got a candle.
Like a unity.
Like a and sing Silent Night, and it's just beautiful. Oh, all the lights out and the candles on. Okay. It's a wonderful time. Yeah. And we usually have, hey, you know what I really like? We usually have cookies around. But no, it's a great time, and our service is never real long. But, you know, I would encourage people to get in touch with what Christmas is truly about.
What time is it? Is it 7 on Christmas Eve?
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, the interesting, you know, St. Nicholas, you know, is where that comes from. And he was a giving person that helped people. And he talked about Christ. And it just kind of got slowly pulled away into Rudolph. But Rudolph's fun, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that away from my kids. Or any of that stuff that goes along with it.
That's what I'm saying. Can we decipher that? Can we still have fun and watch a Charlie Brown Christmas, but still?
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you a question.
Too, can we still talk? Don't forget.
Can we still talk about the seriousness and the love that took place in Easter, with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the tomb? Can we do that, and still let our kids have an Easter basket? Of course we can.
Okay, that's, you know.
All things in moderation.
As long as we don't forget.
And overshadow.
Right.
Forget and overshadow.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's nice being in a family where my family knows the meaning and knows what it is. And, you know, and if you talk to anyone in our church.
Which I don't mean everybody. Don't think, I'm not saying everybody. I'm sure still people, you know. But
if you talk to everyone in our church, our favorite time of year is Christmas. And it's because this has become such a tradition with us to do all these Christmas activities, and along with other things that don't even fit into the program molds. We'll be doing meals for about 25 families this year. Mm. We don't cook them. You know, turkey, all the stuff with it, take it to their house. Mm. But helping people that way. Just trying to help people any way possible when they with a need. A lady stopped in day before yesterday, and we were getting some things out of storage to get ready for this thing. And she just pulled in, and she said, "Hey," she said, "my husband and both my sons in their early 20s, all three just got a job at a place in Delaware that's requiring steel-toed boots." And she said, "We don't have any money. And can you help us?" And I said, "Well, give me till Saturday, because I'm running around like a crazy person. But if you come Saturday, I'll make sure that you get those." But at the same time, one of the guys with us said, "Hey, I got a new pair of 10.5s out much. You wanted a 10.5, a 12, and a 13 steel toe boots." One of the guys with us said, "Hey, I got a new pair of 10.5 steel toes right out in my car that I don't need to use," and went and got them for her. So there was one pair down,
yeah,
and there's two to go. But it's things like that that when, you know, people suddenly, you take the pressure off of them. You know, today I went and got a money order for a lady for our community ministerial association. We try to help people with utilities within our village when
That's
we can.
That's what I was going to say, within reason, you know.
And
you know.
We went today and were able to get a money order to help turn a lady's electric on. And, cool. You know.
That's awesome.
This time of year is such a stressful time for people.
Sure.
And it's for everyone. I mean, yeah. Think about it. Think about the Christmas party stress.
Yeah.
I mean, like the work Christmas party that people have, and the expectations,
sure,
and the gift expectations. And we had a good talk last Friday with Scott about this. We were talking about you guys, the difference you do to the gift cards, and he kind of qualified a little bit why he does what he does.
Sure.
But, you know, the thing is, whatever people want to do is fine.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the truth. We've got like in town, we put these big boxes out for people to start putting gifts in.
Okay.
And one guy just piles gifts in every year in his box. And I'm not going to mention his name because he would rather I didn't.
Right, sure.
But you know, we've got like...
But thank him nonetheless, you know.
Absolutely. I thank him very much. But like we've got the pharmacy and the Farmers Exchange and the bank and... Farmers Exchange, bank... Where am I missing?
Where else? You said one more the other day. It was the fire department?
No. We got the
You mentioned those ones, but there
pharmacy,
was...
the bank, the Farmers Exchange.
And there was one more. You mentioned it.
Oh, yeah. Dollar General.
Dollar General. That was the other
one. But anyway, you know, they don't want anything. But I promise you one thing. By this Friday... I'm probably going to go out and get each one of them a plate of nice cookies or something to take in that morning, you know, to thank them for, you know, doing these things.
Sure.
I mean, it's such a, and they get excited. I mean, the places where we leave the boxes, they get excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just tickles them to death to see that stuff. And it's nice to see the families taken care of. And, you know, I want to give a shout out too to our ladies that come and help wrap every year. We've got a few ladies.
That's a dying art anymore, you know. I mean, as far as...
Well, it is, and we have some ladies. I know Rose Roberts isn't feeling too well, but she always comes every year and does that. And Jeanette Grace is not feeling very well, and she always comes. And Jan Bradley helps with that. And they're all getting older, and there's some health issues there. And Pamela Red helps too. But it's so nice that they sit there and, oh, man, I'm telling you, for a few hours straight, they do nothing but wrap packages. And but they love doing it, and they don't want to miss it. And they get excited about it, and there's a lot of gifts to be wrapped. And then the ladies that come in, and ladies and men both, that help do the shopping and help with that and carry stuff out. And our poor buddy Tim, he's always over in the mission house by himself helping people go through clothes and stuff that we may be giving away or that kind of thing. So he's over there on his lonesome babysitting the mission house. But, you know, it's fun. And we'll have people all week long coming in and donating and – You know, I just had a guy the other day that went out to get some stuff. We were doing those stockings, and he just right there bought $100 worth of stuff for the stockings, just like that. And there's another place we have a box out. I forgot was and I don't want to forget that because she is just such a blessing and such a giving person. And that is Kelly Primavera at Kelly's restaurant in Richwood.
That's the place. You didn't mention Family Dollar. You mentioned that place. That was the fourth one you mentioned.
Yeah. That's the fifth.
Or, right, but I mean... Right,
but she has a box there, too.
But last week, you didn't mention Family. You mentioned those ones.
Yeah. Okay. So Family, they're all... Okay. And we've actually had to empty Family Dollar, and we've had to empty the bank. We've had to empty the pharmacy, and they're on a second fill.
Mm.
So that's just huge.
That's the one. And, okay.
You know, a lot of people come in and fill these things sometimes. We don't even know who did it. And that's great. Yeah. That's the kind of giving we need to do, though, if you think about it, you know.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, the first couple of years we did this, Marion Starr used to come in and want to take pictures and talk about it.
Mm.
And that's great. I mean, so people know that there's people out there giving
and
that kind of thing. But, you know, it's kind of been nice not having them in our way lately. And what I mean by that, first of all, you don't ever take pictures with people that are receiving, because that wouldn't be right.
Right.
You know, maybe they don't want people to their kids to know where they got their gifts, or maybe, you know, that's just not right. And I see a lot of times the news media, when people are at a place where they're receiving assistance, you know, they'll be out there filming and walking up and talking to people. Maybe they don't want them to. But, you know, anyway, the news media we don't have them. We don't even tell them what we're doing, partly because that's not why we're doing it. You know, we're doing it because there's a need.
Yeah.
And as long as there's a need, you know, there's needs that fit that need
you're,
to
you're
be.
You're fulfilling that. You know.
Fulfilling that need. Just like, you know, the Lutheran Church in town does the food pantry every month. Unbelievable undertaking what they go under. You know, they go in with, I mean, I see what they bring in and out of that place, and wow. You know, and, you know, we work together as the churches and help each other out back and forth. And I know our local United Methodist Church in town has a personal needs pantry, which is different than a food pantry. They're doing things like, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to overspeak, but I things like toothpaste, deodorant, wash soap. Like washing machine soap, mouthwash, all those kind of things, diapers, all those kind of things. That you know, they have that going on, and we try to help in our communities and do those things. And, you know, the door's always open, too, for people to come in that we are helping and help.
But, no, you hit the nail right on the head. But, I mean, it's a lot of times it doesn't work that way. They're grateful to receive, but yet they don't want to...
Right.
Help give, you know, or whatever.
And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't know how I'll ever pay you back. Well, you know what? Don't pay me back. Pay it forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we don't want anything back. We didn't ask for it. We didn't ask for it when you got it. We don't want anything back. But here's the thing, you know, do something for someone else.
Help somebody else out. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or do something in your town. People say, well, what would I do?
Yeah.
You know what?
Anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
You know?
A lady said the other day she was at one of the local McDonald's here and somebody bought. And the drive-thru bought her breakfast for her.
Do you know where a lot of that started? Way back, it's been almost a
Facebook post or something.
It's been almost 20 years ago that the Vineyard in Cincinnati, Steve, can't think of his last name, it slips my mind. Anyway, he was a pastor at a huge church. And they did all these servanthood outreach projects. They figured that people didn't care what you knew until they knew that you cared. Does that make sense?
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
And he wrote a book called Irresistible Evangelism. Steve Sogren. There we go. Book was called Irresistible Evangelism. It was how, you know, there's two ways to evangelize people and tell them about Jesus. Well, there's several ways. But the worst way is to stand out on the corner screaming to the top of your lungs and yelling sinner at everybody. The best way is probably to show people that you care and you deeply care about them and you have their ear and then tell them about the Lord. Okay?
Yeah.
So that was his model that he wanted to put out there. And he had all kinds of ways in this book, Irresistible Evangelism, of how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he suggested that they started at this church down there was... to go through a drive-through or wherever you're at and just say, hey, I'm paying for the guy's meal behind me. And, you know, you can leave him a card or just leave him, hand him this note that says, you know, that God loves you or whatever you want to do, you know, or just give it to him. And, you know, that has just taken off like fire all over the country. And it happens to people all the time. I've gone up to a restaurant counter and they said your meal was paid for. And quite a bit of times when I have the kids in for Pizza with Pastor on Team Kid Night, yeah. I have the high school and junior high kids in. On several occasions, we've gone to check out and people say, and it's because they like what they see being done. But, you know, those are the kind of things that people can do. And, you know, you don't have to have money. I know of a couple right now that we're going to be taking care of them, but they are very debilitated, to say the least. And they're having trouble cleaning their bathrooms. And let me ask you a question, Terry. How much money does it cost to clean someone's bathroom? It doesn't cost any money, does it? I bet they even got the cleaning supplies.
Yeah.
So, see, my point is, if you want to pay it ahead, if you want to help
people. You just need a little helping hand, you know. Yeah.
Just go, hey, look, I'm going to help you.
A little bit of elbow grease.
Rake some. Yeah, it's really funny. Several years ago, there was a lady that lived across the street from me. And before she passed away, she had these bushes in the front of her house that had grown clear up to her second-story windows and were actually out onto the sidewalk, and you had to walk around, and they had gotten that big.
Oh, my.
So one day I just decided I was going to cut them for her and clean her yard up. And I went and knocked at the door, and I asked her if I could do that. And she said, why would you want to do that? And I said, well, I said, to be honest with you, I said, I know when you get older, I've got an older mom, and I know when you get older, it's hard to do this stuff. And she said, honey, you can do it if you want, but I got to be honest with you, I didn't do it much when I was younger either. But you know what? We cleaned her place up, and she loved it, and she was happy. And it wasn't any skin off my nose doing it. I think there was a kid coming down the street that day that just kind of hangs out in town and doesn't do much. And I said, hey, you want to make a quick $20? He said, sure, what? I said, help me load this stuff on my truck. And my truck went down the street looking like a moving bush. I had it over. It was mounded to the, you know, but the point is that, you know, you can do those things. And, you know, Christ wants us to be kind and care about other people more than ourselves. And something interesting struck me today I saw the clip of Bob Dole at the
funeral,
the casket there of George H.W. Bush. And Bob Dole's 95. He can't walk. Yeah. He's in a wheelchair, very, very frail. And he actually had a soldier help him to his feet. And he very feebly saluted the former president. And it was hard for him. You could tell he was given every ounce of strength that he could to get up and do that. And I thought to myself as I looked at that, I said, wow, most people today, young people and young adults, they don't understand that kind of honor. It's a lost honor. They wouldn't understand why somebody would do that. But it is honor. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, they... there's a reason they call those guys in World War II the greatest generation. But whether you think it was or not, young people today don't even understand what went on at that time. To know that young men just voluntarily just flooded the recruiting offices to go overseas. Think about that for a minute. Okay. We didn't actively get in the war until they bombed Pearl Harbor, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Pearl Harbor, although it was part of the United States, was somewhat of a recent acquisition. It was not a it's not an old America, and it's way over there, and they're Hawaiian people. But because they attacked the United States of America, you know, we went to war, people said, you know what, we're not going to let this go on. And the other thing they did, what do you think happened when we marched into Europe? What do you think would have happened if those guys hadn't landed in Europe? England would now be speaking German. And they know it. I mean, they knew it. France, too. And the point is, our guys said, you know, for a neighbor, for a brother, for a friend that I've never met, that I don't know, I'm going to risk my life with my own family and go defend freedom. And that's just unbelievable. And we still have young people doing it today. Are they discouraged about a lot of things going on? You know, I talk to a lot of young men coming back from the service, and they are, because they see the way Americans are treated, and they see the way they're treated, and they see the way that what they do isn't appreciated, and they see that the lack of support from many that they have at home. And they see that we're not sometimes doing a lot of good with these groups of people, that they just choose to live the way they do, and they're going to keep on fighting and killing each other long after we leave. And so there's places that you go that are appreciated, and there's places that you go that you're not. I know when Europe was liberated, those people were waving flags out the window and just loving you to death and washing your clothes and cooking you a meal if you were a soldier, or wiping the dirt off your face, whatever they could do, or slobbering you with kisses. And that's just not what we come into anymore in this world, period. The demonstrations everywhere we go. But I find it interesting that most of the people demonstrating today, when you go into these mass demonstrations, when say the president or someone goes to Germany or goes to France, or right now there's horrible street rioting going on in France that's gotten completely out of hand because nobody's got any money. But the rioting is being done by people that have never had any skin in the game. And what I mean by that is most of them are young enough. They've not served in a war. They've not defended their own freedom. And in most cases, they don't even work. They're still living off mom and dad. But yet they're throwing rocks and throwing bottles and screaming, we want this right and that right. And, you know, you got to have some skin in the game at some point. You know what I mean? To understand what freedom's about. You know, talk to those old mothers and grandmothers that lost their kids in World War II and in Korea and in Vietnam, and tell them about the hatred that you have for this country and for everything. Everybody's got to have the same thing and all this. You know, it was interesting. The Pilgrims tried something when they first came here. And they had a kind of an idea of about a little bit of a utopia when they started Jamestown. And the game plan was this. Everybody's going to work, and we're going to equally share in everything. And then everyone's got the same thing, and nobody's without. And that ultimately is the thought process behind socialism. Well, they found out after a year, nobody wanted to work. Because if I'm a hard worker, and I'm working hard, and I go out every day, and I toil and I labor, and the person next to me decides that they're going to be a slacker, and we're getting the same food and the same provisions for our family, I'm going to get an attitude, don't you think? And then I'm going to sit back and say, well, why in the world should I be working so hard when he won't? So they decided to do something different. They came with a plan that everybody was responsible for their own crops, and what they had in excess, they could sell and make money from them. And suddenly, productivity took off, and their productivity went sky high. Why? Because you gave people an opportunity to better themselves. If you've got to work super hard, harder than other people, and you're going to end up with the exact same thing as the person next to you, it just took your incentive away to work hard. You see what I mean? It really does. And that's the problem we're seeing in France right now. France has tried that, and it's not working. And now they've got a whole generation of people that want an income, but they don't want to work for it. And they think that it's owed to them. And that's what we've got to be very careful of. Now, granted, do we need to help give people a hand up? Sure, we need to give people a hand up. There's a huge difference between a hand up and a constant handout. Am I right? I talk to parents about this. You know, there's tough love is tough sometimes. You know, you've got a kid that refuses to work, and he's 35 years old, and he's still mooching off you. Pastor Steve says, kick the bum out.
Cut the cord.
Cut the cord, because you know what? You're hurting him. You're truly hurting him, because what's going to happen is all of a sudden you're going to be gone one day, and they're going to It's going to happen sooner or later.
I'll tell you a story to kind of piggyback off that. A guy came up, excuse me, where I worked the other day and was talking to me and said, he buys and sells houses and stuff and flips them. And he said, Terry, said, I've been buying all these houses, he said, in this subdivision in Worthington by the golf course. And I said, he said, I'm getting them for pennies on the dollar. And I said, well, how are you getting them so cheap? And he said, well, down there, he said, the kids live off mom and dad until mom and dad die. They don't have a job. Well, now they can't afford the taxes because they've lived off mom all their life. And so now they have to sell it because, you know.
Isn't that sad? I just got to tell you, mom and dad, you're not doing your kids any favor by not making them grow up.
You know.
My mom, and maybe she was old school. My parents came from old school. They were married at 16 and 17. And it was immediate work and immediate family. That's that old school mentality. But my mom always told us growing up, she said, the day you turn 18, she said, you either go to school or you get out, or if you stay at home, you're going to pay rent and pay your way. And she was serious about that. And the truth was, it made us do just that. And we all did. And we knew it was coming. I'll never forget, I woke up the morning after I graduated from high school, and I thought, oh, my word, I'm in trouble. I got to decide what I'm doing because there's no free lunch anymore.
Time's ticking.
Time's ticking real fast, and it was. And is there anything wrong with that? No. I was being taught to be responsible. Even in the animal kingdom, we see it. You know, at a certain point, you know, mom kicks the birds out of the nest. It, you know, I was just looking at some deer early this year. My dear friends, Ted and Amy Sauter, have a beautiful little place outside of Delaware. And the deer come up and eat apples and do that kind of stuff. And there's this doe that all year has been walking around, these two beautiful little fawn. And now they're probably, you know, they've lost their spots. They're getting bigger. And it's now December. And mom, if she hasn't done it, has already told them, you're not nursing mom anymore. It's time for me to get pregnant again. You are on your own. And she'll literally run them off. Now, then once they start to learn to eat and do stuff on their own, she'll allow them back out around her as a herd unit. But, you know, even our animal kingdom knows there's a time that you have to grow up. And those that grow up, grow out. And what I mean by that is you can't expand your worth. You can't expand your goodness. You can't expand anything in your life, taking advantage of all the gifts you've been given. You can't expand that until you grow up. You got to grow up and decide that I'm going to make something of myself, and with God's help, I'll do it. And then trust God. Read the Word of God every day. And let him direct your life. And as he does, you're going to find yourself on a path that, even though you may go down a path that's not going to make you financially rich, it'll make you rich where it matters. And you don't have to be financially rich to be rich where it matters. Matter of fact, you can be financially very, very poor and be rich in spirit and rich in heart. And, you know, so we do need to tell kids, you know, it's time to grow up. You know, it really is. And, you know, what a wonderful time of year. And here I am talking about kicking people out on their tail. But, you know, that's not what I really mean.
Right.
You know, it is a beautiful time of year. Again, you know, we've only got a couple minutes left. But, you know, I really want to encourage people to find a church at Christmas Eve. You know, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We would love to have you. And we welcome you. And you can come there and just feel as normal as everyone else. People always ask me, Pastor, what should I wear?
That's what I was getting ready to say. Talk on that, yes.
I will talk on that. I would ask that you please wear clothes. that would be appreciated. I don't have any type of clothes I'd like you to wear.
Uh-huh.
But, you
uh-huh.
know, wear something. If you were going to go anywhere, to the store.
Dinner, you know.
Or anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, just wear clothes. You know, that's all that's expected, you know. Hopefully nothing overly provocative or foul or satanic, you know what I mean. But wear clothes. I mean, that's what we do. We don't give a second thought what anyone wears in our church because people just come to church, and that's what they're supposed to do. You know, the days of coming in and, You know, it's probably some of those churches left out there with a dress code, aren't there?
Yeah.
But I got to promise ours isn't one of them. I ask you to dress warm in the winter because I know three Christmases ago, our heat went out on Christmas Eve.
Oh, my.
And everybody was in there, bundled up. You can see the steam coming out of their mouth. We still had a great service. But, hey, listen, guys, I love all of you. I really do. I mean that. God has given me the ability to love people and care about them. And if you ever need prayer, call me at 740-494-2222. Leave a message. I'll be glad to talk to you. That's 494 and 42s. If you need just to talk or counseling, whatever, give me a call. I do care about you, and God loves you. I want you to know that.
Kids the same way if you need any.
Absolutely. Whatever you need. Give us a call. If I can't help you, I will direct you where you can find help.
Right.
God bless you guys, and just take a breath. Christmas is going to be a blast.
Right.
Later.
God bless everyone.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For legendary actor and spokesperson for Quaker Oak,